You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 2009. So what are the fundamental risks that a company should look out for?
I think at this point of the business cycle, the most important things that companies need to look at is their cash flow. Apart from that, I think they need to start looking at their strategies in quite a lot of detail, because the strategies that they might have been using or utilizing in the past may no longer be relevant. And in fact, a lot of people advise that they should consider at this point in time adopting what is known as a contrarian view, which means that whilst everyone else is selling, you might want to consider sitting back and buying instead. It's a good time to pick up bargains in the market, because the fundamentals have changed. Not everything is overpriced, and there are very good things to be had. But you have to make sure that there is a strategic fit with your business, not just now, but moving forward as well.
Are these risks different depending on the size of the organization?
I think risks are different for every single organization, even similar-sized organizations in the same industry, because risks vary according to culture, the governance culture, the enterprise culture. They also vary depending on how you conduct your business, the operationalization of it. That's why you've got operational risks, you have strategic risks. And risk is like energy. It metamorphoses from one form to another. So you can take two identical companies in two identical industries at identical points in any business cycle, and yet find the risks to be totally different. So you have to critically analyze the business and the risks inherent in each individual company.
You spoke about cash flow and also strategy. What other emerging risks should a company look out for in an economic downturn?
At this point in the downturn, everything is up for grabs. So that means you have to look at your HR policies. You have to look at your marketing policies, your advertising focus. You have to look at whether your content, whether what you're selling is actually what the market needs now. And pricing-wise, is it what the market can stand now? What is your pricing strategy going to be? What is your focus going to be in terms of expansion? Do you want to expand into different aspects, or do you want to concentrate on your core business? And I think conventional wisdom is to concentrate on the core business at this point in time.
Okay. And are there some industries that are more vulnerable?
I think industries, in terms of vulnerability, it really does depend. We're in such a changeable situation at this point in time. If you believe what you read in the financial press, this is the worst recession or depression since the Great Depression, which means that, honestly speaking, no one knows what's going to happen. That being the case, it's a blank sheet of paper. You have to sit back and you have to understand your business. And I think those people who understand their business, who understand their markets, and who understand their strengths and weaknesses, which means they must understand what people they have, and they must understand what their people can do, will stand the best chance of surviving and coming out tops at the other end. I think at this point of the cycle, it's not a case of survival. It's a case of, I want to come out tops when it ends, which therefore means that if you believe what analysts are telling you, that the market will bottom out third quarter next year, it means that right now, you should already have had a good thought about your strategy, and you should have started putting things in place. If you haven't, it's not too late, but if you wait any longer, it may be too late.
So you're saying be more aggressive as opposed to being defensive.
Well, I like playing chess. And as you know, when you play chess, they always tell you, in fact, whenever you're doing anything, the best defense is a good attack. So yes, you need to be slightly defensive, but you also have to be aggressive, because there are a lot of things there to be taken. Just because the market is weak doesn't mean that everyone is weak. Right. You want to make sure that you're one of the stronger ones in a weak market, so that you can take advantage of opportunities as they come along. And how do you do that? By having cash flow. So sit on cash. It doesn't mean that you necessarily need to cut salaries or cut bonuses. It means that you need to be wise about how you spend. You spend where you need to spend and cut back where you need to cut back. But the best way to do this tends to be to get your employees on side, which means a bit of consultation. It means a bit of focus. And I know it's very hard in the Asian environment, but there are companies who actually sit down and do that.
Important question. Are there any risk-proof industries?
Unfortunately, no. There's no such thing as risk-free. I'm an economics graduate. Regardless of what they taught me when I was a student, that there is this risk-free rate, there is no such thing as risk-free. It's just the case of how much risk you want to take in this current environment. it's not necessarily a good thing to take big risks, but it's also not necessarily a bad thing to take risks. As I said, there is no right or wrong answer. You really have to look at your particular situation and then judge.
Now, much has been said about a lack of transparency mm-hmm. and accountability playing a large part in the global financial crisis, the whole subprime issue being a case in point. Now, yeah. business is business. So how do you reconcile the yearning for greater profit and good corporate governance?
I don't know if you remember the movie Wall Street where Gecko said greed is good. I think, unfortunately, greed is good, but greed is also bad. And greed is what has actually brought us to where we are now. A number of people have asked me in terms of financial risk management and in terms of Islamic risk management. For example, had we followed the Islamic way of doing things, would we have avoided all the risk issues and the governance issues that has come about? And the answer is no, because what has brought us here is greed. It's pure greed. And greed has caused us to sit back and say, well, I know that this is a governance issue, but I want to make more money. I want to keep my shareholders happy. I want to earn a bigger bonus. So long as you have those considerations in place, it's going to be very difficult to tell people, well, you know, put better governance practices in place, but you're going to earn less money as a result of that. Now, risk management and more money are not mutually exclusive. They actually go hand in hand. What risk management allows you to do is to make informed decisions, not to make negative decisions, but to make informed decisions to optimize and maximize where possible the amount of profits that you're going to make. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't view it like that. They view risk management as slowing them down in the decision-making process. It's not bad. What the risk manager does is the risk manager doesn't make a decision for you. He helps to highlight the positives and the negatives. And you, as the CEO or as the board of directors, need to make the decision. Unfortunately, that level of understanding and that level of maturity is really not yet here in the Malaysian market, from what we have noticed.
Right. Okay, and we've also heard stories of CEOs who went with gut feel, yep. despite the advice of risk managers not to, and in fact, not only live to tail the tail, but succeeded. They say nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Yes.
How do you explain that?
Well, I would say that for every one story that you hear of CEOs who have succeeded doing that, there are probably 100 who have failed. but the negative stories don't get publicized. Business is about risk-taking. It's not about risk evasion. If you don't take risks, you cannot make money. And the more risks you take, the more money you make. That is why you never let the risk manager make the decision for you, because he's not accountable for the decision-making process. He's only accountable for the risk management process. The decisions have to be taken by the ultimate risk manager in a company, which is the CEO. So the CEO can, in his ultimate wisdom, in fact should, in his ultimate wisdom, weigh up all the pros and cons and then decide where his risk appetite lies. If his risk appetite is very high, there is no reason why he should go against the advice of the risk manager and take the risk, because that is what the CEO is paid to do. He's paid to deliver on his promises, and that is what the board is paid to do. The risk manager can only advise one way or the other. The other thing is that risk managers don't have a crystal ball. Now, risk management is not an exact science. It is very much touchy-feely stuff on the edges and whatnot. And there is this thing called tail-end risk. Now, tail-end risk is the kind of risk that you just cannot possibly, in your wildest imagination, come up with. For example, the subprime crisis. No one would have thought 18, 24 months ago that all of this would have taken place. And even if you'd spoken to the most informed risk managers, they might not have been able to predict a lot of this coming through. Because of that, all the risk manager can do is look at a probability distribution and tell you, according to the probability distribution, where you're most likely to see your risk. He cannot, the tail end of it, 2.5%, whatever, come out and predict what is actually going to happen or what might happen on the outside. And it's that risk generally which kills a company, the risk which cannot be predicted.
How do you convince a CEO who's never used a risk management consultant to start using one? And, you know, it comes back to the issue where you talk about governance,
yes.
and it's innate.
Yes. Unfortunately, there are a lot of very bad consultants out there. There are people out there who claim to be consultants who actually don't have any experience doing risk management. And because of that, when they come in and they speak to a lot of these CEOs, the CEOs tend to look at things from very much a control perspective, an audit perspective, which it's not. Risk management is a strategic decision-making tool. It's to help your company achieve its vision and its mission. So when you speak to a CEO, the best way to do it is to meet face-to-face with him and talk to him about the business issues. And when you talk to him about the risk and the business issues, he starts to see that actually risk management is very much common sense. But unfortunately, common sense is not a common commodity out there. And whilst risk management itself is common sense, putting the actual framework in place, the approach in place, a lot of companies can do it themselves, but they will make mistakes along the way. The advantage of getting a consultant in is that you don't make those mistakes. You get from A to B much faster. And the consultant can share with you experiences from other industries, which might be applicable, and from other geographical locations or from other size businesses, which you may be able to import. And if you get a practical risk management consultant, it means that he can advise you strategically on the best way forward, not the theoretical way forward, but the practical way that's going to enhance your business profitability.
So you're saying the CEO should take ownership of risk management in the organization. Is that the person or
in the company?
Basically,
the CEO and the board of directors are ultimately responsible for the running of the company, and therefore they should take ultimate responsibility for risk management in the company.
BFM 89.9, the business station.